She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Hello, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And today we want you to be thinking Alaska, Yakutat. And if I say it wrong, my guest today is just promised he's going to say, Gina, this is how you say it, Mrs. Green. And someday I'm going to have people on the show like John Smith from Dover, so I don't have to worry about mispronouncing anybody's names. So thank you for joining us today. This show is sponsored by the Fairfax Companies. Thank you for your support, Fairfax, and for all that you are doing for our planet. We really do have another truly wonderful guest with a very big mission in his life, impacting the lives of children and their families. And I don't know about you, but is there any mission that truly tops that one? I don't think so. I am very excited to welcome Rod Shug, superintendent of the Yakutat Schools in Yakutat, Alaska, and he is a man with a vision. Mrs. Green just got back from a trip to his fair town, and I have lots to share about that, but the show is all about him. So we have a bunch of exciting things to talk about, because I wrote a newsletter about Yakutat as a metaphor for what's going on in many places throughout our country, in the lower 48, as they say it. So we are going to talk about the relationship between being a landlocked city or town and what Rod and his vision and many of the people there are doing about energy and many other things, about their children leaving and fishing. And first, I have to do announcements, but Rod, say hi so they know you're here.
Hi, Mr. Green. It's an honor and pleasure to be on your radio show, and from Yakutat, Alaska. It's a sunny day up here, so thank you very much for having me on.
Yakutat, and don't forget, we have to talk about the bears. I was on a bear hunt, and what did I see? Moose. I would love it. Okay, so my couple of announcements. Mrs. Green's World is a proud member of the Dream Vision 7 Radio and Castle Rock Radio Networks, where my shows can be heard weekly. Please remember that we interview guests from around the United States every Saturday at noon Arizona time at MrsGreensWorld.com, and I certainly extend a warm invitation for all of you to join us each week. We are iPhone and Android friendly, so if you're out and about, you can listen on your iPhone. All of the podcasts for my shows are on my website. And please connect with me on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram. I live in a very exciting world right now. And if you have questions, email me info@MrsGreensWorld.com, because we love questions. And a quick shout out about one of our national sponsors, Ecobella. I'm pretty sure that all of my listeners know where I stand on fair trade, organic, animal testing. If you are a part of my world, if you are a new member of my world, you know I have strong opinions about those three topics. So you can take all of the worry out of purchasing, which I love to be able to do that. Safe cosmetics for you and your family and friends, and it really should matter, because what's in your products goes in your body. They have safe products, they source sustainably, and they are cruelty-free. And I believe we need to support companies like Ecobella, because they're all about preservation of this great planet of ours, and we all inhabit it. So let's get on board. Check them out at their website, Ecobella with two C's, .com, and important to support companies like this. I know you will like what you see, and if you use the code Mrs. Green upon checkout, you receive a 10% discount off your purchase, and who doesn't like that? So now let's make it all about Rod Shug, who is from Yakutat, Alaska, Yakutat. And Rod, let's start with the energy conference. You had a vision to bring a lot of people together because of some of the challenges you faced. And probably it'd be good to tell everybody where you are, because people asked me that and I kept referring to, you know, well, there's Ketchikan and then there's Sitka and we flew into Anchorage. So why don't you say, first of all, where you are and what your vision was for the energy fair?
Certainly. Thank you, Ms. Green. Yakutat, Alaska is located in the northern part of southeast Alaska. We are a small community of about 600 people, a small school district here, and we're basically located between the Gulf of Alaska and the Yukon Territory of Canada. So it's a fly-in community. It's a Tlingit Indian town. And stuff. So, again, there's no road system, as we say, in Alaska. But in regards to the energy fair, we were blessed and lucky to, in partnership with our city and borough of Yakutat, Alaska, they, in combination, they had an energy vision to reduce costs and stuff here in Yakutat. We're at 55 cents a kilowatt hour here in southeast Alaska and Yakutat. So extremely high costs here in Yakutat, Alaska. And so in partnership with our city and borough, they gave us a task to put together an energy fair, and I was blessed and lucky to get two of our outstanding teachers involved in this. They got great tech skills, and then so we went to work and started contacting people across Alaska and the lower 48, as we say it. So we brought an array of people from wind, solar, the list, biodiesel, the list goes on and on and on, biomass from Alaska, and also 14 states in the lower 48 people represented up here in Yakutat, Alaska. So it was held on April 22 and 23 this school year, and so just an array of knowledge and expertise came into Yakutat and filled our auditorium and our library and our police station across the street with presentations, and our kids were involved, our community. So it was just an amazing event as we across the nation and in Yakutat are looking at ways to reduce the energy costs. In rural Alaska, they're very high, and that's one of the big reasons why several people are leaving rural Alaska because of the extreme high cost of energy. So we're working in partnership with our city and borough, who is fantastic to work with, to have a vision and to solve our cost of energy here in Alaska and Yakutat.
And Rod, when you say 55 cents per kilowatt hour, I'm pretty sure that we through TEP, I'm part of you can do a community solar purchasing, so part of my energy does come from solar. But isn't coal down around 2 cents per kilowatt hour in the lower 48? I mean, we don't pay that much. I think it's really 2 to 5 cents.
Yeah, several people, like there was a couple of gentlemen from Missoula, Montana, some folks in Idaho, we started talking, and I heard everything from exactly that, 5 cents a kilowatt to 7 cents a kilowatt. And I think, Ms. Green, you were here, so you know the size of our school district. We're a small rural school district, and our cost to turn the lights on are just astronomically high. So I think, you know, we're working again with the city and borough to solve that problem, hopefully here in the near future with those cost savings going back, the typical thing back in the classrooms for the kids and the teachers for the future of our country. And so we are working hard at that, you know, to solve the problem of energy costs here as they are all over the nation. So it's a top priority here in our community.
It's a huge challenge. And I love to just take a minute and kind of press pause to give people a feel for what the conference was like. It was an intimate setting. Really some of the brightest minds I've met in my 5 years along this journey. I mean, there were A-plus people there sharing their vision. I think about Stan Atsidi, who got a presidential award, and he is all about energy storage, which he took me in a classroom and explained. But everybody was fully present, talking with each other, networking from all around the country. That's part of it. What I also loved is what you and Rosemary and all of those great people did to incorporate the families, the kids, the parents. I mean, it was the culture. So it was a very rich experience for those of us that came to get a feel for it. So I want to kind of just set the tone for that and thank you again. But what does it translate to in terms of, let's just say, an average family, if there is such a thing, with an average size house? How much are their electric bills or their utility bills in the winter? Because even when I was there, it was really cold. It was April and it was snowing. And am I glad our heat worked in the wonderful place that you put us up? It was like, yeah, all I care about is if the heat works. Because I'm a desert right now. So how much do people spend on their utility bill each month?
Well, it can vary, of course, depending on, you know, the size of the house and that type of stuff. So, you know, it can vary anywhere, I'm guessing, from anywhere from $100 to $200 to $300, if not more a month. It just depends and stuff. And like here in our school district, kind of size it up a little bit, is we're a very small rural K-12 school district. We're spending, you know, upwards of $150,000 a year in energy costs here in our school district. So it kind of varies, and that's one of the big concerns, is people leaving rural Alaska, is the high cost of energy, and then of course being off the road system, the high cost of, you know, shipping goods in here, because we can't truck things into Yakutat or many places in Alaska, because there's only one road coming through Canada up through into Alaska, and many of the towns and communities in Alaska are off the road system, flying or by boat, in you know, that type of thing. And here in Yakutat, we're lucky to have two daily flights, Alaska Airlines, in here every day. So we're very fortunate in regards to that, because this is an old World War II site, and thus the runway was put in years back. But the energy costs around town kind of vary. So you could walk into like the local hardware store here in town, and you'll see that many of the lights are off during the day as you're shopping in the hardware store. So, you know, you don't probably see that a lot of places in the country, but here in town in Yakutat, that's a common thing, where you walk into a local business and some of the lights are off. And in the school district, we do a lot of that too, and we ensure safety, of course, that's top priority. But, you know, like our gym lights and things of that nature, when we don't have to have them on, we turn them off. So you see that quite often. And then, you know, like I said, in local businesses, you walk in, there's lights turned off. So the cost can vary just depending on how big a square footage and, you know, those type of things here throughout the community.
But it's a budget item that people have to face all winter long. And then when you have the tourists, or, you know, most of the people that I knew, Rod, that had heard of Yakutat were fishermen and hunters. I mean, it was very much known in their world, because it is a destination for that. And believe me, I was very aware of the commercial fishing piece. And you're really glad those planes go out twice a day so that people in Seattle can eat fresh salmon for dinner that night. So
right.
There's a lot of that going on. So going back to the energy fair itself, when you set out to do this, what are some of the goals you wanted to accomplish? Obviously, finding out about alternative energy sources and what you can do in the future. What other things did you set out to do, and how are you feeling about that? We're just about 6 weeks out from when it actually took place. What was your vision for that?
Well, it actually grew beyond our wildest imagination. You know, we set out first to bring in people across Alaska, and then, you know, we just started emailing different people across the country. And obviously, Mrs. Green, we're thankful you guys from Arizona came up. And so the response was just incredible, you know, and coming all over Alaska and the lower 48. So we wanted to bring in just a cross array of knowledge and expertise, keyword being expertise, you know, from all the different renewable energy fields into Alaska. And I learned so much talking with people on the phone and, of course, during the energy fair, that I didn't even think existed until, you know, we put this thing together. So a big goal of ours was just to bring in a lot of knowledge for our community and for our city and borough and for our teachers and our kids and stuff, to help guide us make those decisions as we move forth on what the plan is going to be here in the near future of solving the high energy costs in Alaska. I believe it's either this September, maybe it's next September. I could be off on that, but a company out of Boston is looking and putting a piece of wave energy outside of Cannon Beach, which is one of our beautiful beaches. Mrs. Green, I'm sure you were out there to see that.
Gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, and stuff. So off the beach out there, and Yakutat's a big surfing community and renowned across the world, you know, is a great surfing spot, and the fishing and SeaTac River is a renowned fishing spot. But I believe it's either this September or next September they're going to start looking at that and things in there. And so we collectively, one of the big goal was, again, to bring in just all this knowledge and learn, and we put together off of the Energy Fair packets, and everyone has sent us their PowerPoints, and we're reviewing them and keeping a library here on all the people that came in, so we can access that and, you know, guide us. And then also our community can come and look at that, our kids, as we learn more about renewable energy and try to reduce the cost here in the community for the future of our town and community.
And it was a very, like I said, enriching experience. I don't want to get in trouble, and I'm sure I wouldn't, but Colleen Crown and Shield from Pima Association of Governments Clean Cities invited me, and then we invited Jason Tankersley, who is actually the sponsor of this show, from the Fairfax Companies, and his goal, besides the big goal of preservation of the planet, is to use waste wisely and turn it into green waste in whatever way he can. So the three of us were very much engaged. Colleen, of course, is an expert on alternative fuels. And let's just go to, I love to do this because I just, this is how my brain works. One example that excited me the most engaging in conversation with people, and you have to help me out with the name of the man. I think his name was Rick. And his mom came, and they had a presentation about solar, and they brought in a panel that was made out of, I believe it was, aluminum cans and a solar panel, and it had a frame. And they were working on, they hooked it up to the bed and breakfast where they stayed, and they were measuring the solar energy for that destination while we were there. I mean, that's how exciting it was. It was like on the scene, walk the walk, and look what we're doing.
Yeah, that was fantastic, Mr. Green. Rich Eberly, Rich Eberly, he's a teacher in New Buffalo High School, Michigan. His mom is, I believe, a professor at the St. Mary's Women's College there in Notre Dame. I could be off on there, but amazing project. Rich had communicated with our science teachers, so it was a project that he sent all the information, how to set this up. And so Deb Karen and Nate Endicott, two of our teachers, work closely with Rich Eberly via email and phone calls and stuff like that. And so our kids designed it. It's made of aluminum cans, and they made this amazing solar panel, which in turn, Mr. Eberly stayed at Red Roof Inn here in Yakutat. And
right.
John over at the Red Roof Inn said, yeah, you can put this up on our inn over here. So that was a hands-on science renewable energy project in partnership with two teachers in our school district and Mr. Eberly from another school district in Michigan. Powerful project, and they put that panel up over there, and they also made another one that's sitting in our shop to be determined where to put that on. But what's cool also at the energy fair is many kids stopped at the table there with Mr. Eberly, and he was just explaining it, going over the whole project. Very interesting. But again, you know, a science hands-on project, which is a real-life experience in this world of renewable energy. So just an amazing partnership between two school districts, you know, working collectively together to solve energy costs. So a very powerful project for our teachers and kids and with the help of Mr. Eberly. So we are very appreciative of that.
And it meets so many of the exciting ways that you can teach kids, because not every, as you know, with developmental assets and multiple intelligences, kids learn differently. I watched the video. I saw a lot of the pictures. This was a hands-on project with what I would call learning in action. And it was one of the things that excited me the most, because it wasn't at the scientific level at 30,000 feet of thinking. It was implementation. And he was so excited and so passionate about this project, and then brought the big thing in. I mean, there were things like that. And even though it was 2 days, I don't even think I got around to everyone, because you spent a lot of time interacting with the people that were there, and from someone like me in media, learning from them, getting great guests for down the show. I was trolling myself. I was fishing. I was fishing for really great guests. And it was very successful. And then the warmth of the people. So that's a project. I would love to have him on the show, actually, because he's extremely passionate. And like I said, we're pretty booked out. But to me, it's the combination. It's the ripple effect. It's all that made it exciting about just being there. And how did you, I want to be careful when I ask the really long questions that require answers, because we have a break in about 3 minutes, but how did you involve specifically the students? I know the staff were very involved, but we can take it in two parts, maybe one before the break, one after. But how did you involve the students in the actual planning of it, or were they involved in the planning? I know they were involved once we all got there, but did you engage students in the planning of it?
Well, part of it, yeah. And so what was a cool thing real quickly is one of our teachers who was involved in putting this together, Sarah Spencer, put together a really cool passport, actually like a real passport that the kids had going around to all the booths.
And, I loved that.
And so they were learning. Yeah, it was an amazing idea and just off the charts idea. So all our kids went around to do that. But also, before the Energy Fair, our elementary school does a yearly science fair. So they already had planned. They did this year's science fair off energy themes. And our teachers over there in the elementary school said it was the best science fair they've ever had put together. And there's local judges. So they knew the energy fair was coming. So they planned ahead and started researching all the renewable different energy themes. And so it was a really cool science fair that they put together. So our kids were involved, and they're very active. And we got great, great kids here. We're very lucky in that regards. We got great kids and have great skills, communication skills with people coming in, so we're very blessed with that. But they were involved in going around the booths and before the energy fair, also working on their science fair project. So they were doing a lot of that as were the high school kids. So there was a kind of a team effort, not kind of definitely a team effort with everyone involved helping out. So
It showed. The kids were excited.
Yeah.
When we come back after we take a short break, I'd love to talk about career night, because you engaged us, and that was one of my most fun things that I did, but how you create the excitement and what your vision was for that. Everybody, if you just tuned in, you missed a really good first segment, and you can hear it on my podcast, but I'm interviewing Rod Shug, superintendent of the Yakutat School Districts in Yakutat, Alaska, a first off of the lower 48 guest for me. We'll be right back. Please stay here with me because we have lots more fun stuff to talk about.
In the mid-Tucson summer, you would expect it to be over 100 degrees. But deep beneath the University of Arizona's compost heap, temperatures can hit 160. Started by the Compost Cats student group, the U of A Compost Project is collecting tons of waste from around campus and keeping it out of landfills. Gathering garbage and converting it into a useful product for the community? Now that's a hot idea indeed. The University of Arizona. Big questions, bold solutions, better tomorrows.
Hi there, this is Mrs. Green. The 2013 VW Jetta TDI is the sedan people love to love. It comes with a zippy turbocharged diesel engine that's 90% cleaner burning than previous diesel engines, and it goes farther on a tank of gas than a Toyota Prius. Chapman Volkswagen has a great selection of Jetta TDIs, so choose yours today at chapmantucson.com or in person at 4646 East 22nd Street in Tucson.
You can always find things around the house to give to Goodwill, but I have a bigger reason to give. A while back, I lost my job and I couldn't even support my family. A lot of people don't know Goodwill can help you find a job, but that's what they did for me. I've had this job for 7 years, and I love going to work. You know how they say Goodwill changes lives? Well, it's true. Goodwill needs your donations now more than ever. Please donate today.
Go deep underwater without getting wet. Study bugs like a real scientist. Make your shadow move in colors. These are just three reasons to visit the exciting hands-on new exhibits at the Children's Museum Tucson, the region's only museum just for kids. For 25 years, we've ignited kids' imaginations at the Children's Museum Tucson. That's something to celebrate. And admission is only $2 on the first Sunday and on the 25th of each month this whole year. Children's Museum Tucson, where imagination and learning connect.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And today, we're inviting you to think about Alaska. I had the pleasure of going to an energy conference with people from the lower 48 that were invited by our guest today, Rod Shug, who is the superintendent of the Yakutat School District. And it's a small but powerful community. Rod, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today and getting us excited about the seeds you planted about 6 weeks ago at the Energy Fair. It was pretty amazing for me. So here's
thank you very much.
Now let's put you right on the spot. And I went through my notes, okay. And I know they're here somewhere. If I don't say hello to those two little girls that were stalking me, I am going to be on double secret probation. And then there was always, one of the kids gave me a note and said, say happy 13th birthday to Isaac Robert John Lorson. I swear, I'm not kidding. He did. And I mean, I put it up on Facebook and I just didn't think that I better remember their names. And I wrote it all over and I swore I'd never forget. But was one of them named Allie? You know which girls I mean.
The two girls' names are Annie and Sydney.
Annie and Sydney. Thank you so much. I'm saved.
Yep.
I'm
going
to write it in my notes.
Yep.
Okay, so you have to tell them that we did indeed do it. And I, of course, had a very soft spot in my heart for Sydney. We saw her perform with the dancers, and she just had a smile that stole my heart. I've got a lot of pictures of her. She's a little character.
Yes, she is.
Yakutat, look out. That's all I'm going to say.
She's
got
a lot of
energy.
Great kids here.
Great, really, really great kids. Okay. Let's talk about some of the really fun activities that you had for us when we were there and the kids to do, because you asked for people coming to try to do things interactive, and there were. But one of the cool things you did was, like you said, the passport piece. But you had us involved in other ways, doing interviews with some of the just brightest and most articulate students to give them an opportunity to interact in a very different way.
Yeah, thank you, Ms. Green. One of the things we did, and we were lucky too, because a lot of folks participating in the Energy Fair came early. So Friday, April 19th, before the Monday and Tuesday Energy Fair, we hosted our fourth annual Career Fair Day. And what we do during our Career Fair Day, it's just been taken off in the past 3 years. People all across Alaska came in. Again, we were lucky this year to have many people from the lower 48 come in. And what we do is we do mock interviews with our 9th through 12th graders, real-life interview sessions, and kind of put them on the hot seat, per se, and they get all dressed up like a real interview and go through. We have a series of questions that are asked to our students. So it's a real-life experience, and we find it very beneficial. You know, being in a small community, people pretty much know everybody, but to be outside their realm of their world, from someone from Arizona or, you know, Washington or Idaho that came in, or Mr. Atsity out of New Mexico that came in, you know, and we're interviewing our kids, and so we ask for feedback. Good, you know, great things our kids are doing, and also ways that we can improve and help our students out. So it's been a very powerful event doing the mock interviews, and very beneficial for our kids as we, you know, plan for life after graduation. So we find it very beneficial and get a lot of really good feedback and a lot of really good stuff on our kids that they do well in those interviews. So that's been really good. And then we have booths set up in the gym that our kids go around. And this is another thing that we do, is they have a series of questions. They go around to the different booths, and it's gotten better each year, where we're trying to get our kids not to just look down the question, but to have the eye contact and, you know, interview skills and stuff like that as they're talking with career fair participants. So this is something that's really grown in our community and across the state. So people in Alaska have come in for years, you know, the goodness of their heart, and just come in to help our kids out. And our goal is to expose the kids to all the career opportunities and possibilities that are out there. Because in our small neck of the woods, you know, it's a big world out there, and we want all kids in Alaska and across the United States to succeed. And through mentorship and adults leading the way and showing the way, we can do this. So the career fair has been just a blessing. And then, you know, we were lucky too, like I said, to have all the people across, I think we had 13, 14 different states outside of Alaska represented in the Energy Fair, and many people came in early. So it was just a great experience all around.
It was a great experience.
Great, and, four or 5 days, yeah.
And the kids were fun and engaging, and then the good thing to me was we got to see them throughout the weekend, because as you said, it's about 600 people, so you do run into each other everywhere. So I thoroughly enjoyed that. And you had, I want to segue a little bit to, you mentioned earlier about you are an off-the-road system, as you call it, landlocked, and it was kind of fun. Like, did you go down the 9 mile? And that's literally it, the 9 mile, and, you know, spending time on the river, really appreciating the pristine beauty that I believe exists only in Alaska. I mean, I was everywhere you drove in that community, in your community, the views were breathtaking. I think it's the first time for me that I was ever on the beach near the ocean with snow on the ground. So it was like, okay, right. I'm used to beaches where it is. But let's talk about when you talk, you know, some of your unique challenges because of being an off-the-road system as it relates to energy or alternative energy. You have a project that you're going to be presenting to the school district for just one area of it, to narrow it down, LED lighting for your gym. And is it for the whole school or is it just for the gym? Can you talk a little bit about that? Because it's such a concrete, tangible example of moving the green needle forward.
Certainly, Ms. Green. What I'm going to do here at the next city and borough assembly meeting is make a presentation requesting some funds to do a whole LED lighting project in our entire school district. And again, we're a very small school district, but costs are very high. So it has to be approved by the city and borough of Yakutat Borough Assembly to move forth. And if they approve the project, then what would happen is during the summer, and it might carry into the school year a little bit, is we would get LED lights, current lights, and amazing energy savings costs throughout our whole school district. And being off the road system, one of the challenges is that we can just not truck this stuff up here to Yakutat, Alaska. So it has to be shipped in via barge or plane. A lot of it via barge, so that could take anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks, depending on when the next barge sailing is, whether it comes out of Seattle on Alaska Marine Lines or whatever. So we're hoping that you know, that we get good news after the presentation, that the borough assembly approves it. That's to be determined. That's up to them. And if they do, we will move forth and have an amazing lighting upgrade throughout our whole school district. And to kind of offset that, we've also applied for a grant, a Safe Routes to School grant here in Alaska to upgrade our outdoor lighting too. So we're hoping to get good news on that also to upgrade our outdoor lighting. So if everything falls into place, we would have, you know, amazing energy savings costs and be on the cutting edge of things here in our small community. So the shipping costs are what kind of is a struggle here in rural Alaska, because sometimes even from a school district standpoint, when we buy products, some of the shipping costs are actually more than the actual item we purchase. So it's just one of those things of living in the beautiful state and community that we live in.
And everything has to be shipped in. I mean, I will say this, not halibut. I am allergic to fish, but the people that I was with and people I spend time with, I think they had halibut for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And it was just a beautiful presentation. The restaurants that we did go to, just seeing it, the different ways they prepared it. So that's one of the few things you don't have to ship in, that and probably, you know, bear and moose meat, but I'm not sure that's big on the menu. I don't really want to know about that. But what kind of costs are we looking at? Like you said, you're not a huge school district, but what kind of costs, if you don't mind sharing, to install LED lights, you know, and what would be your ROI over what amount of time?
Well, right now we're looking at a proposal. The complete project is looking at right underneath $170,000.
Wow.
to upgrade our, you know, entire school district. So, and this is a conservative return on investment. So, again, if the Borough Assembly approves this, the Yakutat Borough Assembly approves this, the return, the savings, and this is a conservative estimate by our electrician, the savings would be $60,000 a year. And that's a conservative estimate.
Wow.
And for us being a small school district with a little over, you know, give or take a $2 million budget, that, you know, that would be a huge cost savings for us and be able to fund other things that we need. And again, like I said, those savings go right back into the classroom for the kids and their future. So for us, that would be a great, great project and a huge cost saving. But again, that would be a conservative estimate over time.
That's amazing.
So
I mean,
that would
people
pay for
need
itself in a couple of years.
That's
three
like
years.
Maybe 3 years max. I mean, that's an incredible amount.
Yeah.
And gymnasiums, auditoriums take so much energy with those lights. Some of the school districts here have done it too. What about the, I was thinking about some of the kids. I don't know how the school budgets work, but one of the common threads, which was very interesting to me when I interviewed the students, is you great questions about what else would you like to see with the school curriculum and all that. I talked with kids about it, and they wanted more like bilingual opportunities, Spanish. They would love to have a Spanish teacher. All these things that we don't think about being in the lower 48, you just put an ad on Craigslist or in the paper or, you know, post it on your website. In Yakutat, not so easy. You have to find someone or bring someone there. So will the money that you save be able to use to be used in the curriculum? I know budgets are very, very, this is one line item, this is another, but will you be able to invest those savings back into the educational piece?
Yeah, good question, Ms. Green. To kind of scaffold on this, one thing we do offer, obviously being Yakutat is a Tlingit community, so we do offer two Tlingit classes.
Right.
But Alaska has also put forth, I believe started last year, what's called AKL, an Alaska Learning Network. And so we are looking at that in our schedule next year, and that is distance learning online classes. And what we did in April is we put forth a student survey, which is common in all schools that do that. And one of the things we saw was exactly that, the world languages, and because there's many colleges that require now 2 years of foreign language. And so many, many kids are interested in that. So what we're going to look at next year when we're registering kids is how many kids are interested. And then what we do is we had a couple students this year that took those classes, tech classes, Alaska Learning Network, gaming classes, those type of things that they're interested in, through Alaska Learning Network, which is funded through the state and things. So we would look at putting forth, you know, some that online program and things of that nature for kids interested, whether it be German, Spanish, or those type of things. So to answer your question, yes, that savings would go back right in the classroom and other things that some kids are interested in, like AP history and things of those nature that in smaller schools we're not able to offer.
Right.
So we're going to be looking at that, absolutely.
And how wonderful it is because, I mean, I call it the green trifecta. You save energy forever if you do something like this, and the kids benefit. It's a richer educational experience, and hopefully more of the kids will want to stay. I mean, it's a huge issue. When I wrote my newsletter, migrating out of Tucson is a huge issue. I mean, here we are, a city and a county of almost 1 million people, but the good jobs aren't here. I mean, my kids left, so a lot, like the mayor, they're all talking about how can we create a community where kids want to stay. They still have the ability to travel, but as a mom and a grandmom, I'm not happy that my kids left and I have to spend 10 hours trying to see my grandkids, and that's not a landlocked community in Alaska. So it's one of the challenges you face, and the education system is key. And, you know, I never asked you while I spent time with you or while I was there, how long have you been there and what keeps you so excited? Because you are. You're the Pied Piper. And the kids follow you around and the teachers all have a lot of respect for you. They hang on you. They're like Klingons. But what is your passion in terms of having this community be thriving and growing all the time?
Well, I have been here now for 4 years, but I also was here years back. So this is a total 7 years that I've been in Yakutat. And I just love it here because we're lucky, too, that not only this is a beautiful, beautiful place, if I can say just a couple of things. We have, you know, Mount St. Elias, 18,000 feet high, the Hubbard Glacier,
gorgeous.
The largest tidewater glacier in the world, eagles cruising everywhere, the bears, the grizzly bears, and the wildlife where I live at real quickly, I can look out my window, and I've, in the past 3 weeks, just seen pods of porpoises coming through, saw a whale come through the other day. And so the beauty of Alaska and the air is just so clean and fresh and things of that nature. But what keeps me going is I think, and I know it's a cliche, but when people have a passion for their careers, and for me, personally, there's a big separation between a job and a career.
Yes.
And people that have a career, there's passion. You can see it, and no matter where you travel, there's sheer passion for what they want to do. And because I always jokingly say to the students that when I'm 60, 70 years old, you guys are going to be taking care of me. And one day I was talking to one of our freshman girls, and I asked her what she wanted to be, and she had mentioned a radiologist. And then I asked her, well, do you know who the baby boomers are? Baby boom generation. She chuckled and said, Mr. Shug, no, I don't. I said, well, you're looking at one. And, you know, the big, large population, the baby boom generation. So, and I said, you're going to be taking care of us down the road. So it's our job as educators across Alaska and the United States to make sure that we deliver a top-notch education with the resources provided for our students and find, be creative and innovative, like through these world languages, through Alaska Learning Network, and make programs happen for kids. Because when it's all said and done and we look back after we, you know, retire, whatever, and what do we want our legacy to be and what we've left behind for the next wave of educators and superintendents that come through Yakutat School District. So it's one of those things that, you know, collectively as a team to continue to move things forth and, you know, reflect and learn, but also to plan and have a vision of a better tomorrow for the kids in the school district and community.
And I can certainly say that that's happening, and it's delightful to see it. And I could, you know me, you spend enough time with me, I couldn't agree with you more. Sometimes Mr. Green will come in to our home studio and say, did you know it's 9:30 at night? And I'm like, it doesn't feel like work. When you're doing what you love and you have a passion for it, I don't feel as though I have a job. I have a passion and a career and a great team that helps me bring to light programs like yours, people like you that are making a difference because we're one planet and sustains us all. And, you know, we always have these breaks, and I don't want to act like they're annoying because I love my sponsors. But when we come back, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about you are working together with other agencies, because that was very present at the Energy Fair, the other, you know, groups, the other governmental and non-governmental agencies. And also we'll spend a little time talking about Ian Fisk and the lobbying that you do and what his role is, because he was a very compelling person to sit and talk with. And I think people are interested in that because of some of your needs. So everybody, please stay here with me. Time is flying. I'm interviewing Rod Shug from Yakutat, Alaska. Be right back with more Good Scoop.
She's the most exciting thing that's ever happened to you, and you want to spend eternity with her. She deserves nothing less than the best, an Abbott Taylor original. A diamond engagement ring as exceptional as she is that will make her eyes sparkle every time she sees it. Because we design and make our own jewelry, we can create something wonderful for every budget. I'm Abbott Taylor. I'd like to invite you to come see what Abbott Taylor Jewelers has waiting for you. With 35 years and thousands of original jewelry designs, no one has more experience in designing and making diamond jewelry in Tucson than Abbott Taylor Jewelers. We're proud to say using recycled gold, we have saved over 100 million pounds of toxic waste from this planet. Abbott Taylor Jewelers at 6383 East Grant Road, on Facebook and on the web at atdiamonds.com. Abbott Taylor Jewelers. Diamond designs for everyone. Abbott Taylor Jewelers.
It's got advanced technology. It's got major breakthroughs in technology everywhere you look. It's the 2013 Honda Accord. Hi there, this is Mrs. Green, and I want to share with you that after nearly 40 years of heritage, this is the most stunning Accord ever. The highly respected Automotive Magazine raves that the 2013 Honda Accord offers unparalleled talent of goodness. Please visit Chapman Honda at 4646 East 22nd Street in Tucson to check it out and see for yourself.
Do you dare to share? In 2009, the University of Arizona started its car sharing program. Today, students, faculty, and staff have access to a shared fleet of cars that includes 7 hybrids and even the zero-emissions Nissan Leaf. Not only does car sharing give the campus community wheels, but it takes all those extra cars off the road, too. Now that greens things up, doesn't it? The University of Arizona. Big questions, bold solutions, better tomorrows.
Did you know that even a donated doorknob can help Habitat for Humanity? Habitat's Habistore accepts donated items like furniture, building materials, and appliances. Donations come from commercial builders, malls, restaurants, hotels, and individuals like you. Then, items are bought by bargain hunters who come across the very things they are looking for, just like the right doorknob. The best part is that Habistore sales generate funds for building homes. Call 520-889-7200 or visit HabitatTucson.org.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm sure you'll agree with me that our guest is an inspiration. He is giving us lots to think about, and his name is Rod Shug, superintendent of the Yakutat Schools in Yakutat, Alaska, a little spot of heaven right up there in the non-lower 48. I mean, I'm going to start saying, okay, so Rod, what are you going to do next? And can I bring my husband? I said, he's got to come back because it's just our kind of thing. So let's go back to the show. My whirling dervish brain needs to be controlled here. You had a very impressive representation from other organizations. You had, I found out a little bit about the rivalry in a healthy way about the University of Alaska Fairbanks and the University of Alaska Anchorage. They did not share a booth, but some of the brightest minds, and they were, you know, of course, kidding, they were right next to each other. You had people from the Forest Service. You had people from the, I believe it was the Energy, the Alaska Energy Authority. So How do you, in your role as a visionary and a leader, incorporate their resources to, you know, move you forward to a more sustainable community and a thriving community where people are learning and growing and moving forward?
Well, one thing we, you know, here in Yakutat, the partnerships with our folks in Yakutat, from our businesses to the Forest Service, from the fish and game to, you know, the grocery stores to our lodges to public safety across the street, and a great partnership, obviously, with our city and borough of Yakutat.
Right,
is everyone just works well together, you know, and because the focus, again, is on the kids and a better tomorrow for our kids. So it's just amazing, like at the Career Fair Day, where, you know, I just always put the far corner, Ms. Green, as you saw, and just line it up there with all the Forest Service people and everybody else that comes in, and they just give amazing presentations, and they volunteer all the time throughout the course of school year, you know, in our summer school program coming up, and then there's a big turn festival here in Yakutat coming up here at the end of May and June and stuff like that. So the volunteerism, I know it's a cliche, but the volunteerism is the backbone of the country, as Colin Powell used to say, and things of that nature. But we are lucky to have an amazing array, cross-section of people that just come in and want to always help out and in our school, because being a community school, this the buildings are open 24/7 pretty much, but it's just a lot of people, and they not only donate their time, but they're donating money to the kids and programs and helping them out. So it's just a really, really good feeling to have that partnership in town here.
It was so evident, and I just have to say, because it's my show, Rod gave us a key to the school. How often does that happen at TUSD? Never. You can't just give someone keys to the school. And I don't think we did much damage. I was looking around for a soda one night, and there was none, and that's a good thing. I was going to leave it
there.
But it was a pretty spectacular feeling for you to have the confidence in us that, okay, here's a set of keys. And it's reflective of what that community is all about. So what about Ian? He is the lobbyist. What kind of things is he bringing to your state legislature in terms of, you know, Yakutat and energy? Tell me a little bit about his role. Talk about a dynamo. He was one, is one.
Absolutely. I met Ian a few years back, and speaking of passion, he's very passionate about what he does, and he's the borough lobbyist here. And he helped the borough get a big, large energy grant here. I think I don't know what year it was, but, you know, he's in continual contact with the borough, and obviously he's just a really down-to-earth guy, very personable guy here, and works closely with our state legislatures. as we're trying to figure out energy costs, but work closely with Skip Ryman, the borough manager, and they have a great partnership. And Ian stays in touch with me, and, you know, in the energy fair, he was always touching base and what can I do to help, and just one of those wonderful people that not only is a very, very brilliant person, but a down-to-earth person, and combines those two, you know, to have a focus on helping our community out. So we're very lucky to have him as part of the team here in Yakutat and with the city and borough to move forth on energy costs and reducing those costs. So he is a dynamo too, and has a passion and a vision too, as we're looking at, as I mentioned, in a wave energy coming up. So he has a vision, does a ton of research, is clear, knows what he's talking about, and so we're very lucky to have him as part of our team here.
And he's a dynamo. Obviously, he stood out so much to me. I wanted to bring him up on the show. So, Rod, let's talk a little bit about yours is probably not the only community in Alaska that is off the road system and has some of the same challenges. Do you personally and professionally partner or share information with some of those other school districts about what they're doing and innovative practices? What's your, you know, your vision or your relationship with other partners in the challenges that you face?
Thank you, Ms. Green. One of the things here in Alaska is there's 52, 53 school districts in the state of Alaska, and I know that most people know this, but Alaska is one-fifth, geographically one-fifth the size of the entire United States.
Gosh.
So there are some extreme challenges when you look at from Barrow to Unalaska, you know, to Interior Delta Junction, Alaska, all the way to southeast Alaska, the Panhandle down here in the archipelago island. So we are lucky, you know, to have a close-knit superintendent group in the state. So there's constant emails going back and forth, you know, between superintendents about different costs going on. What are you doing in your school district to reduce, you know, let's go to energy costs. What kind of projects do you have going on? Some of the things that's taken off in the interior from the Alaska Gateway School District to Delta Junction Interior, where anywhere it can get from 50 to 60 to 70 below in the wintertime, and then 95 degrees above in the summer, so it has some of the most extreme temperature variance in the world. So they've put together some biomass project at their school district out there to save energy costs, and there's a couple other across the state, and I know that wind has been looking at, but we're in constant communication, you know, as superintendents via email or sometimes phone calls to talk about how we're, what are you doing in your school to cut costs and to include energy costs, and here's some ideas you can do, you know, here's some grants you can look at. So it's a really good close-knit group of superintendents and leaders in the state of Alaska, and also with Alaska Association of School Boards that provide a lot of information, insight on different topics too, that collectively we look to help out across the state.
And when you talked about, to me, the sharing of those ideas is so critical, so that you're not reinventing the wheel and putting energy into a lot of things and then finding it out. And I felt that was there, too. And even some of the partners that came to the fair, I'm trying to think of one lady that I just absolutely loved. And the way that you'll remember her, I didn't get her card, is that she walked in, and here I am in boots, jeans, heavy sweaters, because I'm from Tucson, and she walks in this drop-dead gorgeous, you know, short skirt and high heels, and I think she might have been from, like, the state compensation fund or your medical provider.
Oh.
Dynamo.
Yep. That was Gina, who is our with Primera, our health.
How could I forget
now?
Her name? Really, hot chick is what I called her. You can tell her I said, boy, you're a hot chick. Boy, did you get dressed up for this? And I felt like, I mean, she was and fun and funny and excited. And she goes,
absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I come down
She's
here for this
fun.
Every year. I love it. And she was really another great. But that was the kind of energy. So let's switch for a minute in the time that we have left. I'd like to talk about two things. One is the subculture of the Tlingit, which is so prominent. And what impressed me, my little sidebar, is that for the events that you planned, Rosemary and Skip Ryman and many of the other people were just as excited to be at when you had the dancers come as I was as a first timer. I watched their faces. They weren't at we got to go to a dinner for Rod. They were mouthing the words. They were cheering the kids on. Many of them had kids in the performances or family members. So as a culture, why that's so important. And then what are you going to do to help make sure a lot more of the kids stay and grow the village? Is that a possibility even? Because it was, to me, it is one planet, and those pieces of it are every bit as important as something that, you know, Procter & Gamble might do tomorrow to reduce their shipping costs or energy savings on their shipping. So can you talk a little bit about the real feel for that piece of why you love it there, about school and community?
Yeah. One of the great things, well, we had an Energy Fair dinner Monday night, April 22nd there, and we invited our junior Mount St. Elias dance group and our senior St. Elias dance group. And they're in their Tlingit dancers, just absolutely amazing, and they're in their full regalia. Some of the regalia takes weeks and weeks to make, the fine beading and the different clans on there, and just a very powerful event for everybody to see. It's a big part of our culture. Many of our kids are involved in the dance group, and I've seen them several times too, and I could watch them all the time, because speaking of passion, you can see it in their in the students' face and the adults' faces. They're dancing, and it's so important to their culture. And you know, it's just amazing to watch their songs and their dances and how they work together. And you know, it's just, I'm, like I said, I've seen it several times, but I could watch them all the time. So we were lucky to have them. You know, so everyone across Alaska and, you know, the folks from the Lower 48 got to see a big part of our culture, the St. Elias Dance Group. They travel, different places and perform, so they're pretty well known, but they just got great leadership in there. And even some of the adults, many of the adults obviously graduated from Yakutat School District and were born and raised here. And so one of the coolest things was one of the adults' child, who must have been only 3 or maybe 3 years old, was out there doing regalia dancing.
He was so little.
Yeah, he was so little, and he was out there dancing, and so it was just a wonderful night. But the culture, you know, going back to language, and so two of our graduates here, Gloria Anderson and Amanda Bremner, Amanda Bremner Porter, they are the overseers of the Tlingit language class as well, in partnership with the Yakutat Tlingit tribe here. And so, like I said, we have that class every year for 7th through 12th graders, and they also go into some of the elders go into the elementary class and work on language also. So everything, they do Pledge of Allegiance, different things at different events in their language, you know, to keep the language alive and going. So it's just, again, graduates from Yakutat, you know, that are giving back to the community. And are speaking of, you know, keeping folks here, we're hoping, you know, that things turn around a little bit and that there becomes stability in the community and some job creation, some long-term sustainable jobs. So I know that's on the top of everyone's list to keep the best and the brightest and kids here. And it's a concern across the state of Alaska that many kids are leaving because they want to go to Lower 40 and get warmer weather, that kind of stuff. But we're losing so many kids. And one of the things, if I can transition just quickly, our governor has put forth a scholarship, you know, that pays for the top 10% in each school to stay in-state, tuition there. So the main thing is job creation and sustainable job. You know, there's a lot of jobs throughout the summer and stuff for kids to work and stuff, but the main thing is long-term sustainable jobs. If someone wanted to go to college, you know, and get an engineering degree, there's got to be a job for them to come back and live here and work, and if they wanted to start a family, a long-term sustainable job. So we're hoping some of these things turn around here in the near future for all communities throughout rural Alaska.
And there are some jobs. You know, you recommended Gary to go on our fishing excursion, and he had his little son, Gavin. Gavin and Garrett. I mean, it was, to me, to get on the boat, and there he was with Dad with a smile that stole my heart. I just kept getting the feeling this really is all about family. He's a commercial fisherman. So there is that piece that if listeners are in any way excited to go to Alaska, put it on the map, because there are two flights daily. And I want to say to people, go see what I saw, and I really plan on coming back. So you are an amazing inspirational leader to me because of what you're doing to create a sustainable community there with all of the challenges. So I honor you and thank you for that. And I have to say that, I mean, Rod, we're almost out of time, so you'll get the last shot. But before we go, I always like to forward promote the next show because we've got great guests like you. I mean, it's like every week I say, wasn't he a great guest? Wasn't she a great guest? So next week we have another great guest that is a topic that's near and dear to me because of what my past was. My experience is in mental health, and his name is Dr. Jay Gordon. He is the author of a new book, Catching Lots of Attention, Preventing Autism. The diagnosis of autism is at all times high in our world, so you'll want to join me for that. And again, Rod, just say goodbye and say hello to everybody there for me, and I hope that you will share the podcast of the show so my friends know I'll be back.
Okay, I will. Thank you, Ms. Green, and thank you, everybody, for coming to Yakutat, Alaska for the Energy Fair. We thank the community of Yakutat, and please come see our beautiful school district and community in Yakutat, Alaska. Thank
what
you
What a
so
great
much,
way to end the show. Make it a great green week. Thanks, Rod.
Thank you. Have a great day.